Welcome to the CBS in Days edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss Wally Kurth's return to Days of Our Lives. Is Tamara Tooney returning to As the World Turns? Guiding Light films its last episode. The fashion face-off on The Bold and the Beautiful. And Devon sleeps with Tyra on The Young and the Restless. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Mike, welcome.
Hi.
Jillian, welcome.
Hello.
Jamie, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Jamie, Wally Kurth returned to Days of Our Lives this last week. What did you think?
Oh, I love it. I was kind of confused. I hadn't been reading a lot about what Justin was going to be doing. So to see that in the years since he's been in Salem, he's a lawyer. I guess that's the new thing now with soap opera characters that leave town in their 30s. They go to law school. You know, Liza Colby is now a lawyer. And it happens. I mean, we suspend our disbelief on so many other bigger things on soaps. But Justin Kiriakis has gone from being like the CEO of Kiriakis Enterprises to running his own construction company. That's what he and Adrian left to do, is run their own construction company. So I have to commend it to the guy. You ran a construction company in Texas and had, what, 4 children? And you still got a law degree since you've been gone. So, hey.
I guess he's the new Mick Morton.
He's an ambitious, ambitious man.
I want to ask about that because I was watching it this last week, and I don't remember him from his previous stints. It would be before my time.
Yeah.
It was before my time. So, like, I'm watching him, and I'm a big fan of Wally Kurth. I liked him on General Hospital's Ned Ashton. I liked him on As the World Turns.
That they're playing him like Ned. From what I've gathered so far, it's like Ned was the Quartermain gatekeeper. And I really feel that sense of that's the role Justin is going to play with Victor's family now, that he's going to be the conciliary, you know, Wally Kurth is great with that. I hope that they give him more to do within that. And, you know, my great hope is most definitely that Gary Tomlin will quickly rescue my Judy Evans from As the World Turns. She hadn't even premiered yet, but this Maeve business, who cares? It's like, I want Adrian Kiriakis home with her Justin and their 4 sons.
And that was one of the things I wanted to ask about, because
that could be the new family. I mean, really, if you think about it, you could have a new family unit with Justin and Adrian have 4 sons who would be grown by now. You know, that could be a new cheap core family unit for the show to intermix with the people that they already have.
Did you get the impression, though, watching him at the Brady Pub with Beau and Hope, and then in other scenes later, that he was sort of like making eyes at Hope? Because I sort of got that impression, and not having watched him before with them, I didn't know if this was something I should be paying attention to, because I sort of got the impression it's like he seemed a little bit like more than casually interested in Hope.
Hope has this big storyline coming up with the baby being kidnapped, but Justin was never a villain. He was slightly nefarious at times, but, you know, he was always like a good guy. But he didn't like Bo in the past. He and Bo, when it was revealed that Bo, like, because Victor raised Justin. And since
Justin
Victor
named one of his kids after Victor.
Since Victor didn't have an heir, Justin was the Kiriakis heir. And then it was revealed that Bo was his child. So Justin did not like Bo, and he didn't like Isabella when it was later revealed that Isabella was Victor's kid. You know, Justin had bitchy stuff to say to them. As I remember it, before he left town, he had, you know, made peace with, you know, everybody. But I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. All I know that is he's coming back to be the lawyer. He's going to represent Dr. Nasty Pants. And, you know, I'm sure that he will interact with Carly when she returns, because, you know, he was part of Carly's entrance story. But, you know, I'm anxious to see what they do. I mean, I really hope that they bring back Judy Evans. And and put Justin and Adrian. I know that from what I read, she wants to come back. I think I saw that in the Suds report and with TV Guide Canada that she only wants to stay there at As the World Turns a short time because she wants to come back to Days, and I want her back. So,
well, speaking of As the World Turns, Mike, Tamara Tooney, the possibility for her coming back. I mean,
yeah, that's great. She's one of the characters that I miss, and I miss her friendship with Margot. But I have to say that no matter, it's the bad side is that it's a short time, and I believe that she's going to be escorting Bonnie out of the picture. So
that's so cryptic. Know,
it'll be kind of sad. I wish she would stick around.
Just when Tika Sumter came out with some hair extensions, that girl Lee.
Why you call her Tika Sumter?
No,
Tika
Sumter.
Tika Sumter came out with hair extensions, she's leaving.
Tika has a new line.
Yes.
Oh, I'm confused as hell.
I was a little confused,
I'm not Luke. No.
Tika told me to tell you not be confused with that.
No, just when Tika something's coming out with a hairline, this girl's leaving. She's going to benefit from Tika.
Yeah. You know, I was like, I don't know. Maybe I was wishing too much, but when I read that news item, I was hoping that maybe they were keeping Jessica in town for Dusty. I don't know. I mean, the way it's like she's leaving and my news story starts. I'm like, maybe Jessica needs to come back and get her some.
Oh. What do you mean? Oh.
Dusty, so greasy. He doesn't need to put a hand on her. So greasy.
Greasy. He just needs somebody.
He's greasy.
He just needs a haircut.
Grayson is the man. And he looks like he hasn't showered in 3 years. And that, I mean, his hair has become so greasy, he can just put his hands through it and it will stick in place.
I don't think he all that bad, but you know, I don't like that, you know, Carl Hutton's hairdo. But yeah, they do.
I remember that, yeah.
Cut that hair before it gets a little too, you know. I don't know, but no, Grayson is still the man. You know, I am not blaming Grayson McCooch for me not liking Dusty, because that's just been bad writing. I mean, he used to be the shit, and he could still be. Again, this show has plenty of people that could be. I just thought of something. We hadn't talked about this earlier, but I did read in my newest issue of Soap Opera Weekly, they're saying something that we've heard too. And, you know, I just, not that we need to quantify, I don't think anymore we need to quantify or piggyback our scoops, but when As the World Turns was renewed, we were, you know, our sources told us they had a year. They finally just admitted that in print. Someone from P&G admitted that in an interview.
I believe, was it with the Cincinnati.com?
Yeah. But we've been hearing, you know, Melody, and, you know, and myself have been hearing from strong sources that they might not even have that long. Well, Soap Opera Weekly said in their week, and it was kind of a buried little news item. It wasn't a big news item, that their sources hear that As the World Turns might be off by December. And that's what I've been hearing.
Well, and that
since the Guiding Light got their renewal. And I mean, it is what it is. It's like, you know, there's no, this isn't being positive. I mean, it's just brass tacks. I mean, this show has got to pull it out. That's why we've been seeing so much improvement of late.
But Nelson, is it another Guiding Light thing?
No, well, Nelson said in the Suds report that his sources are telling him David Kreisman is basically going to be writing the show, that, you know, Passanante is still there, but I guess she's just, you know, they've got a shiny ball for her, like the same one they use for Higley over the face.
Well,
Mel's not here, but I talked to her this weekend, and our Mel is hearing that Jill Laurie Hurst might be going over there, and that they might do the same thing they did with Guiding Light and do those teams of head writers. No, it's like, if it works, so it's so funny to me. it worked so well for Guiding Light, so let's do it over here too.
Well, and that's what I want to ask about. They, in this article with Cincinnati.com, the quote is, they're dedicated to making the best show we can as long as we're on air. This is deja vu to the moment. A while ago, I blogged or told someone about the fact that this, As the World Turns is right now, where Guiding Light was last December. They're mm-hmm. starting to improve. They're pulling out all the stops. Things are heating up. We're about ready to have what looks to be possibly some really good storylines coming down the pipe. I mean, the one with Dr. Bob is really good. There's other storylines that are picking up. And it's as if September or October is going to be the deadline, like for Guiding Light. They had to get the ratings up, so it's going to be September and October will be great, and then we'll find out it's canceled.
Mm. I mean, if you look at the numbers, I mean, they're lower now. They're lower than the magic 1.8 that Guiding Light, you know, our mail was told Guiding Light needed. They're lower than that, and, you know, several soaps on ABC are hitting that. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we're on a countdown watch. I mean, we're basically going to be marking time between each show's cancellation notice. And I cannot foresee them keeping this show on through mid-season and then I'm letting it go all the way to next May. I don't see that. You know, the
ratings, I think they're gonna,
and the improvement, it's improved over what we've seen in the last 6 months. But the show is still just schizophrenic. I mean, it makes no sense to bring on the people that they're bringing on. Yes, it's a little more enjoyable. Some of them are good actors. But even if I listen to Lynn Herring's interview with We Love Soaps, and she said herself that she wished that Audrey would have had a little more depth and, you know, that she hoped it would be entertaining because there wasn't much time to really make this a viable character. And that's the thing. It's like, what is the point in this? GH is not even As the World Turns time slot competitor. It's stupid when soaps do this anyway, ever, but I kind of get when you steal, like if they were stealing from One Life to Live, I would get it because they're time slot competitors in a lot of markets. People who watch GH don't watch One Life, As the World Turns. It's like, bring back Dr. Dixon and all the people, Andy Dixon, people like that, that these fans want to see. And I know I said
call up Bailey Chase. Saving Grace is going off the air next year. He'll be looking for a tide over until his next job.
Oh, I didn't like him on there either. They hadn't had a Chris Hughes that was worth a damn ever.
Mike?
No, I agree. I agree with what he's saying. I really didn't realize that the timeline was that tight, but
oh, yeah, if they can get a renewed...
I've been enjoying the last few weeks, but it's still, one of those things that, you know, is it a fluke? What's it going to be like a month from now? Yeah. I mean, I never feel secure with the good stuff that I see anymore. It used to be a something you can count on, and I just don't feel that. So, yeah, it's nice to get a couple of weeks of good story, but I never really know how long it's going to last. And with all these other people coming over, I really have to wonder how much is actually going to be taken care of as far as layering these characters together and understanding their motivation, where they came from, their history. But, you know, it is what it is. It's really tough to see all these things go away. But in the same sense, they just ain't what they used to be. I agree with Jamie's point about when he said that they need to bring back people that we care about. Like John Dixon had 30 years on the show and he was walking down the hall and never heard from again. They don't even talk about him. Andy Dixon would be a good choice. I've mentioned that the Stewarts have 420-something quads that would be an asset. So I just think that is where I agree with what Jamie's saying.
Well, and what I don't understand about this is, like, if you take and look at the fact that Paul, with his different brain and not remembering who he was the most enjoyable thing that we've watched Paul be in years. He's already back to being Paul.
Mm-hmm.
After, what, 1 week, a week and a half? they condensed his being this new person into a week and a half, gave us great scenes with Emily and Barbara, great comedic stuff. It was a reason to watch. I wasn't feeling like I had to be forced to go and watch him. And it's done in a week and a half. But then you have these other storylines that are just god-awful, and they last for 6 months. It's right. Like everything that's good lasts a day, a week at most, and everything that's terrible lasts forever.
Well, look at what James's returns. Every time he dies and comes back, he used to be very integrated into everybody's life, causing all kinds of problems. But now he just comes back and hides in the basement and torments Paul. I mean, it's almost pointless. I mean, as much as I have great, you know, love of the character, but I just really feel that his usefulness is not there anymore.
You know, it's like this show has become a primetime show from the 70s and 80s. You know, every once in a while, we'll get a very special episode, two-parter. Stay tuned to the Facts of Life next week to see if Natalie lets Snake hit it, you know. But we don't get – that's it. It's a two-parter. That's it. It's on to the next thing. And, you know, this show needs to go balls to the walls. I mean, they've got Forbes March on here, you know, making goo eyes at Noah. Why hasn't he, like – gotten that boy on his table at the office at Oakdale U and put a hot kiss on him? They could save this show if they took it up a notch, you know, make it a soap opera, you know, have Noah walk in on him just tonguing, I mean, not Noah, have Luke walk in on Noah tonguing Mason down, and, you know, Mason being the one who was doing it to him. And, you know, I mean, there's just stuff they could do. There's stuff. But, yeah, they are so stuck up, these certain characters' asses, that'll be the death of them. I mean, no fans have told them. I want to find the fan that told them they like Paul and Meg. I want to find that person.
And do an interview.
You know, because there isn't anybody that's a fan of that couple. There isn't anybody. Barbara Bloom is writing those letters herself. And no, nobody like that. Somebody told me, oh, yeah, they got a website. Hell, I can start a website tomorrow. There ain't nobody fans of that couple, and they know it. And, well, you know.
I always liked the dynamic he had with Emily much better than that.
It's too little too late. It's too little too late, and it's lazy. Why did it take, again, why did it take cancellation notices for you to do what you need to do? It's like, why now did it take you, you know, the new As the World Turns logo and all this stuff? Before long,
the
we'll
new
see.
Website.
It's, yeah, I'm telling we'll you, watch. This is deja vu.
We're going to see radio ads. We're going to do, it's like, why do you have to do this at the end? Is this just, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but people say, have been saying that they just do this to make it look like they put up an effort. And I don't want to believe that. I'd rather believe they're stupid and just would rather live with their heads in the sand until CBS says, you guys, you're going to be canceled. And then it's like, oh shit, we got to produce a soap opera.
Well, and it's not like this just for this show. This is, you could blanket that on every
well,
show.
But it should also be a note.
The P&G shows get an extra badge of discourage for it, though. I mean, right. I have to say, I mean, even all my children, it's unwatchable right now, but they do try to pull stunts out to get ratings. The P&G soaps have been asleep at the wheel. If you look at the last 5 years of efforts, you know, please. I mean, it's just,
well,
I never want to see Fashions again because of them. And I used to love Fashions, but now they put poor Lisa on that ugly little set with that damn 19-year-old boy.
Talking
with his hands
about hand. Eduardo again. Oh, I love Eduardo. He was my favorite husband. We were only married for 2 minutes, but I love Eduardo. Damn it.
I wouldn't mind that if she wasn't on there with my Aunt Shirley's handy cam from the family reunion running around taping her, you know. Look at the camera! Do the moonwalk!
She need to call Jeannie Cooper's agent because they're just doing her wrong. Sorry. She really well, do.
Maybe Catherine has a sister from Texas.
Well, maybe they'll... maybe Lisa will pop up in Guiding Light when Catherine pop up in what Springfield. The? Maybe Lisa will pop up in Springfield when Catherine does.
How?
I don't know, to say goodbye.
They go, is Marge Dissay gonna let him borrow her bush? Change clothes in. Jeannie Cooper will act a fool. You know she likes to act a fool. She'll give an interview. It was dreadful.
Oh yeah, Cooper.
I thought they were gonna give me a dressing room.
Well,
someone send the mail jet for me immediately.
The dressing room is the ladies' room at the PPAC Hotel.
I'm surprised none of those poor Godlight actors hadn't been arrested for
indecent exposure,
having to change in them cars going on. See, that's the thing about me. I will be honest. That shit right there, they made it hard for themselves by letting that shit ever get out. When I read that, I thought to myself, what? You mean to tell me I had a dressing room for my freaking college musicals, and Kim Zimmer has got her behind stuck up in the air in the backseat of a Ford Fairlane trying to change into her outfit? Does that make any sense?
And then they want to try to front like they have a dressing room with those boys, Lauren Saint Victor, Daniel Cosgrove. I'm going up to my dressing room now. It's like, what dressing room?
Well, Guiding Lights filmed its final last episode this last week. It wasn't just the
too redundant.
Well, but last week it was the final episode at the CBS Center. This week it's the final episode. Period.
And next week it'll be the final episode at the PPAC Post Office,
where they will give them $10,000.
Like a Cher concert, you know. I'm retired. Do you believe in love after love? Like, please, just go ahead and get it done. We know it's going to be awful. We already know the storylines are going to suck. The fans know it. It's like, just go ahead so that these people can talk. That's what I'm waiting for. That's the final beat to this story, is when they are no longer obligated to this show. I want somebody to talk to that Kim Zimmer. And I want somebody, you know, so that these people can finally tell the truth. Because I know Ellen Wheeler is amazing. She's a visionary. I don't think all of them feel she was all that much of a visionary. And I can't wait for some of them to go on record and say it. She damn killed this soap opera. Yeah, it was on life support when she got it, but she shot it in the head. She went in there in the room and shot the patient in the head.
You know Kim Zimmer is going to let loose, and I can't wait. Cannot wait.
They wouldn't even give these fans of their – they managed in their last 6 months to create a new super couple. I give them props for that because that's not usual for a dying soap. They, you know, Santa Barbara had Warren and BJ, but nobody, I don't think, it's been a long time since a soap in its end game managed to create a couple that got as much buzz as Otalia, and they wouldn't even go the distance with them. They wouldn't even allow them. They haven't even had a real kiss on this soap opera. Why should we hold back? That's what it just pisses me off, because I'm sure I'll get shitted on for making fun of the show again, but why shouldn't I make fun of it when they make fun of themselves by not letting their fucking most popular couple right now kiss on the damn show? Who's gonna tune off? Mima already stopped watching. She's stopped. She's watching the doctors.
Well,
she
and
ain't watching. So why don't you give the lesbians who are watching what they want?
The other thing is, though, I mean, if you look this last week, Bernard, Bernard is like one of the most positive people who's ever been on this podcast, and Guiding Light figured out a way to piss him off. Mm. And I would encourage you to check that out, because in a way it was basically metaphorical about.
Oh, because they were pimping the damn other shows.
Yeah. I mean,
I knew that Jay Bernard is very positive and he wants to believe the best about these people. Doesn't surprise me. It's just like in the Bible when Jesus came to the church and found all the people in there. I've talked about it before. Selling shit in the temple. He turned that damn piece of rope into a whip and whipped him out of there. Barbara Bloom is going to be on there tomorrow, Monday's episode. Here, get your Reba Shane imitation dresses. On the last episode of Godlike, Barbara Bloom is going to be handing out promo flyers for Let's Make a Deal. These people don't care about that damn show. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. And you know who else doesn't care? Because I'm not going to just put it on Barbara Bloom. Because I think CBS is a business. They'd keep the show on if it made any money. Who doesn't care is Procter and Gamble. They don't care about that show, or they would have gave that girl some money to save it. You know, I know I just dissed Ellen, but shit. I mean, they gave her 50 cents and told her make it work. I mean, if they cared, Procter & Gamble didn't have to let these shows go out like they did. They didn't have to do that. They spend all that other money on a bunch of crap that ain't working. You know, I don't have any sympathy for them. I have sympathy for the fans, but I don't, and the actors.
Yeah, I do too, and I also have sympathy with the fact that they somewhat, and I know it was done based on media stuff, but I somewhat feel cheated that they tried to make it sound like they were going to get picked up, and then, you know, all of a sudden they were letting people go, and they still were saying, no, we're going to, you know, try to find somebody else to pick it up. I think they let that go too long.
They should have hired a show. No, Procter & Gamble, they could have got this show greenlit. They could have got, if they would have recentered, if they would have pitched a new show centered around Atalia and pitched it, you know, somewhere else, but they needed to get rid of Ellen Wheeler to make that happen. That woman and her issues and her visions and her mysticism or whatever it is.
I hear that one more time.
She can't have a soap opera with somebody with an agenda like that running it.
Well,
and, you know, I wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt because it's like she's never spoken out about her religion or anything else like that. But I firmly do believe now, you know, I do believe she has held this show's storyline. You can just look at it. Look at what it's become. It's like this show has become some Stepford version of Little House on the Prairie, even that creepy song. Love can save the world. Meanwhile, when you watch, there's anything but love going on. Sisters, you know, screwing their cancer patient sisters' husbands and perverts running amucks, molesting little girls who can't act and all this other stuff, killing off beloved character after beloved character. There hasn't been any love on this show. It's been this odd world view that Ellen Wheeler has that she's shaped this show into. I want to see real people doing real things. We don't care what you want to see. We want to care what we want to see with God and Light. It ain't about what you wanted to see, and you didn't get that. I'm sorry. Jay Hammer's back. Fletcher, come back, and maybe
Fletcher's
he can
coming
help
back to say goodbye like everybody else.
Wash the dishes at company.
Right.
That's what real people do. Why is Blake washing dishes at company when she's a romance novelist and a former corporate executive?
There's a lot of unanswered questions, aren't there?
Oh, so many.
Yeah,
but we did.
This week was a lot about nothing.
Show has become a lot about nothing. It just makes me mad.
Nothing happened all week long. I mean, you're wrapping up in a month. You need to make things work. You need to make it worth watching, and it's not worth watching, even though.
And they're all being rewarded.
It's going to be gone.
And they're all being rewarded with jobs on As the World Turns. Soap operas are the only genre where you can continue to do badly at what you do and continue to get new opportunities based on it.
Well,
but people like us would save them for free almost.
Oh yeah, without a question.
You know.
Jillian, what did you think of the fashion face-off on Bold and the Beautiful?
I wouldn't buy anything from those heifers. I'm sorry. The outfits were ridiculous. The only dress that I liked was Brooks and maybe Katie's. Donna looked like she just shitted out some fabric behind her. And Jackie looked like her, like she wanted to do her spin on Brooke's bedroom, a la Owen and Jackie with that dominatrix thing. It was all shades of wrong. All shades of wrong. Like, what's her face did it best? What is her name? Susan Flannery Stephanie did it best when she held her nose. I was like, girl, you ain't lie, because this is one big stinker. It just sucked. Sucked big time. It was just all shades of wrong. Sorry. Their fashion show stank.
I was watching it as the three Logan sisters came out in those
fucking
like
Charlie's Angels. That shit.
Well, no, not the Charlie's Angels ones. When they came out in the long, now I'm trying to think of the title. The royal robes that with the trains that followed after them, and then they took them off, and they all started doing those poses.
That
and
was
like,
Charlie's Angels. Ugh.
I didn't see the angles. Like the angles that I was watching it at, I didn't see them all, and all I could think was, these ladies look like the mannequin dolls that Ugly Betty discovered on the roof with all their heads chopped off of them.
They look like they were doing the robot dance. Like they were like broke down Charlie's Angels with all that movement. It was stupid. It was just all wrong. And
their fashion, you know what? I got to throw B&B a bone here, though. The fashion show was lame, but the storyline I'm enjoying.
The fashion show was lame, but I'm not disputing that. I'm saying the fashion show would just stank.
Well, I mean, well,
there's leather daddies. Does that make Jackie a leather mommy or a dominatrix?
They didn't. B&B needs to hire a real
fashion designer.
Consultant.
That used to be like the showcase of their show. At some point, it was always leading up to the big fashion show.
You
and
can
it
tell
would
they don't
on.
Know anything about fashion. With
oh,
the
yeah.
They need to go to Fit Him. They have Fit Him there. They need to go to the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising and borrow one of those students and say, you know what? We'll feature your stuff on our show for free, you know, as college credit or something, so they can get their shit out there, because they just have them dressing.
I mean, look how they have Don Diamond dressing, and he's the damn publisher of a fashion magazine, and he dresses like Diddy's cousin.
He's
Diddy's broke cousin somewhere with them big old bracelets.
He's a communications conglomerate. He's supposed to be, I guess, he's supposed to be the Rupert Murdoch of the West, and he dresses like some drunk frat.
He dresses like some of my uncles at the family reunion with them tight pimp daddy pants on and them pinky rings and bracelets. He looks like a pimp, like he finna go put the Logan sisters on the corner somewhere. He does not. They need to do something with him. He does not look like a corporate leader.
His voice was sexy, though. His voice was sexy when.
I'm liking him and Katie. I do have to say, I'm liking him and Katie. It's like I'm getting my Victoria Brad play out, because I didn't get Victoria Brad. But I'm liking him and Katie. I'm liking a lot of the couples on B. I'm liking Brooke and Ridge again. I know I'll get slammed for this. I like it when they're flirty and fun, and they're at Forrester doing what they do. And Brooke brought they brought me back to when I was a huge Brooke and Ridge fan. She started talking about all the magic they've done at that company, the belief formula, the bids line, Brooke's bedroom, and I was like, oh yes. Long before that awful scenery chewing boy came on as her son and just ruined them for me. And
I've already figured out what happened with Rick with that boy, Kyle Lauder. He's not working against Susan Flannery. When he was with Flannery, he brought his A game.
I haven't liked him at all. He's just not. They wasted Dax Griffin having him play that person who tried to bother one of those Daffy twins. They needed him as Rick. I don't like Kyle Lauder as Rick. I just don't. I just don't. They just make him just bad. He thinks he's Stephanie Forrester coming on there acting crazy like that. It's just too much.
Do you think that this was a missed opportunity for the show to not get some viral marketing going? One of the posters and one of the threads said that the pictures of Jackie and Owen should have been plastered everywhere, and they should have used this as an opportunity for to go after the cougar type thing, like All My Children did with Cameron and Susan Lucci.
Well, it doesn't hurt to have the View on one in your camp if you're like AMC. You know what I mean? That you're on the same network, so. That didn't hurt at all, but
Julie Chen spending all fall and California as
Julie
she's
host- told me to
as
tell
she's
you she
hosting Big Brother.
Bullshit. You heard what you just said, right, Big Brother? She said she ain't about to promote that bullshit. Sorry.
Oh,
I did not like
bullshit on Bold the Beautiful versus bullshit on Big Brother. Which is worse or which is better in this case? Let's go to YNR.
Oh, Lord.
Devon and Tyra.
Oh, God.
Let's go around the circle. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Mike?
Oh, Jesus, Luke. Do we really need to do that?
No, we're not doing that.
What was the question?
Devon and Tyra.
Oh, that was like, okay, I'm not going to give you that. I'll give you a different kind of comment.
Okay.
Ew!
Mike.
That's what I said on the other POW that we just did, that I cannot believe that Devon's girlfriend did puke in the doorway when she saw that.
No,
that's how I felt. That has to be one of the most offensive, disgusting, grossest things I've seen on a soap that I actually have a sick reaction to. Oh, it's just, I won't say it's just as bad as a kissing cousins, but I'm telling you. All this crap about people screwing around with their relatives is just gross, and I don't know why soaps are fascinated with it. I really don't.
I guess that's CBS's diversity program in action.
How's that
right
for
there.
An answer, Luke?
That is CBS's diversity program in action right there. They said, more diversity, we're giving them diversity. No, seriously, that storyline is just, it came out of nowhere. I was like, what the fuck is this? That was my reaction. What the fuck? It was stupid. It was all shades of ridiculousness. I could see if it was some buildup. I mean, we did get one flashback, one little dream sequence of him trying to kiss that girl, but there was nothing leading up to that because Devon has been angry black man, another stereotype, angry black man, and then all of a sudden, you need to get out my house, rolling his neck, and then you want to couch yourself, and then, oh, this one made me so frustrated. I'm like, well, maybe YNR's not trying to be stereotypical with the angry black woman, but it made me so mad that they had Rock Sanchez and run away. No, I'm sorry. I'm speaking for the ladies here. Sorry, but we would have dropped our shit that we had in our hand and go upside the both of their domes and then ask questions later. We would have asked questions later. We would have taken them both out and be like, all right, which one of y'all started this shit first? That was just all ridiculousness. And
it was.
The only bright light in that was Tatiana Ali. They have one of pop culture's someone that is down in pop culture history, Tatiana Ali, and they're not utilizing that girl. The next time I'm sorry, I'm going to put this out there. The next time someone from YNR calls, she needs to slam down that phone and say, don't call her no more. Because they're not utilizing her. She's also on one of the hottest, pop culture shows, entertainment shows, Access Hollywood. She's a correspondent there. You would think someone would say,
and she can act. And she can act. That's the main thing. She can act. Even myself can't act. She can't act.
I'm saying you would think someone there would say, she's on Access Hollywood. We want to get some buzz about this show and a storyline with this girl in it. So why don't we focus her or showcase her on a storyline so she could parlay that into a puff piece so we could get some of those younger audiences that Access Hollywood gets. And no one's doing that.
Well, they would get much more of that if they just, you know, and maybe that's the issue, though. To be fair, maybe because she does so much stuff, maybe that's why. Maybe she's choosing to be on recurring. We don't know. But no matter what, there's half a dozen or a dozen, two dozen black women I can think of who can act that could join that show. They know they are wrong for Eva Marcel. That's one of those situations where they recast Sharon four times in the first 6 months the girl was on the damn show, or the first year at least. Why did we get stuck with this thing this long and she can't act? And they know she can't act.
You see how they have the Winters family, aka the black storyline, they have them all segregated in the corner. They're not intermingling with anybody, down to Neil. The only person that's mingling with people is Lily. You would think they would just have them mingling with other people to try to catch some niche, but they're not. Like, I mean,
and they used to be better. You know, I remember Victoria Rye used to talk about that when she was on the show back in the day. She's called it the Young and the Rest of Us. And it was that way in the past. But the storylines were so good between the black characters that, yeah, it sucked. But even they did still have back then, you know, Malcolm was best friends with Phyllis, and before that had a flirtation with Victoria, and Neil had his friendship with Ryan, and
he was best friends with Brad. Brad was his best man at his wedding to Drew the first time around, and it just sucks. It just all shades of sucks. Like,
yeah, they don't care about these characters. I'm not gonna
they don't. You know,
be PC about it anymore. I love the regime for so many different reasons, but I'm not gonna sit up here and do this whole, well, you know, no, they don't care about these characters. It's like cancer and incest is not good enough.
You would think that, you know, they would try to mix them up some more so we can, you know, to me, it's just with that, it's just like, you know, once the A and B stories that they have going have just shifted, and now they have their C and D stories. We're starting to see now what some fans are complaining about, and I can't knock that. I can't really knock that at all. But I'm saying, at least with Tatiana Ali, pair her up with Daniel. I think her and that boy who plays Daniel would be hot on screen instead of that scrub Devon. The first love scene we see with Devon, it's with his aunt, and I don't care if they're not related. They thought they were related.
And see, I don't think Devon is a scrub. I think Devon is a viable character. I think Brighton is a good actor. I don't think they've given him anything to do besides lose his hearing and mourn his mama.
And be an angry black man.
And yeah, be mad at everybody all the damn time and try to cock block his sister. It's like, will you stop trying to make Lily not get any loving? It's like, anytime somebody come at Lily, you leave my sister alone. It's like, will you get somewhere and sit out? That's what
Chloe were kind of cute when Chloe like tried to deflect
him
that.
And Chloe could have been fun.
And maybe he could be Mary Jane's salvation and fall in love with her.
No, they need to go out and let Devon come out the closet and hook up with Rafe. You know, that's where I would go with that. You know,
but I know where they're
going. Well, once you have... Yeah.
Ebony Jet, then I'll do a story about it.
I bet you anything. You know what? Someone asked me about, before we go on something else, someone asked me about what happened to Devon looking for his father. Bet you anything. They're going to tie his little romp with Tyra into his looking for his father. We ain't going to see Devon for a while, or he going to be gone.
Victor knew that crackhead. Victor hit that girl. He was over there in the hood like Bill Clinton.
Considering,
Devon, you are my son, and I am going to bring you.
Oh, hell no, Victor!
Considering what they pulled off,
I'm going to make you the CEO of Newman Enterprises. I never made your father for long, but I will now make you the CEO. Victor, I didn't give birth to him. I want you to give it to me. Shut up! I do not want to give your children anything because I found you on a pool and now you're in the head of a car.
And I don't want to give it to that dummy that I have with Ashley, that big Betty Boop doll. Don't even.
Well, considering the fact that what they did with Adam and Rafe, I mean, what would they do? I mean, they could, once you go Tyra, you go gay. I mean, they could follow down that path. I mean,
well, sexuality. I want people to start reading Kinsey. Sexuality is not always a written in stone thing. Just because he slept with his auntie don't mean he might not want some of Rafe's little caliente. You don't know. People were surprised.
Yeah, sexuality is a very gray area.
You know, let Absolutely. Him, you know, just have a couple of cups of coffee with Rafe and bond over life. And then Rafe put his
music.
Please, he's going back burnered again. We're going to back burner that boy again. Whatever.
Now, yeah, you can do anything if you tell a story. You can make Victor come out the closet if you tell a story.
Well, that's it. He's been in love with Jack all these years.
I don't think so, Mr. Kiddins.
What you can't do, though, is on tomorrow's episode, make Victor put his tongue down Paul's throat. And that's what YNR is doing with so many of their stories now. You just, no. you can't have him have a dirty dream about being at a leather fetishist room with Paul and Neil, and in the next episode have gay sex. That's what they're doing with this. Devon has one thought about his aunt. And you know, if every little boy who had an inappropriate thought about a woman screwed him, it'd be chaos across America. You know, that's ridiculous. They are not telling soap opera stories. They're telling good stories in a lot of ways, but they're YNR. We talked about As the World Turns doing this. YNR is doing it too now. YNR is speeding through these story arcs. You know, one by one by one by one. Bah, 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 bah. You know, plot driven mess. You know. Sharon, you know, is back to stealing again after we thought she was through with that. It's like, you can't just drop it off and pick it back up. This is that's what LML did, and that's what we can, we criticized her for. And it's like, Maria is now running a show that is doing that, too. It's like, they pick up stuff. You know, you sit down and you map out these story arcs, you know, and play the beats. That's not happening. That's not happening. And it's getting harder and harder to find, you know, things to defend. I mean, I know everybody loved Nikki's swan song except me. I was like, that just reeked of, you know, behind the scenes stuff. And
speaking
of
Nikki, she's still flat out on the pavement. Nobody found that poor child out there.
Fucking Mary Jane got a stash somewhere.
Oh, her or Adam.
That is the bright light on this show. Billy Miller and Mary Jane.
Oh, yeah. This last week, when she slipped that note into JT's pocket, and now JT's...
And JT! Yes, JT is back!
Exactly!
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, Victoria took the vice off of his balls, and he's actually getting some circulation back in him.
I don't even know how to respond.
No. I loved... My favorite scene, I think, was with her in the confessional booth, and the way they had it shot where... it was like over his shoulder, but you could watch both of them and his realization that was his sister, and he turned around and she was gone. I just love that. That was probably one of the best filming or cinematic shots
that show has had in ages. And I don't know, maybe you guys aren't liking it, but I feel like when I'm watching this movie, when I'm watching this show, there are scenes like when Nikki was out there by the road, and then the scene where they were in the confessional, and I felt like I was watching a big screen movie with all the drama and how it was set up. And that scene in the confessional where she was confessing to him was fantastic. Absolutely loved it.
And that was a good idea to put them together. I mean, to have it revealed that was her.
To
I was never really sure
left.
How that was going to play out. But to have her go to a church and have a confession, because it would make total sense, because her mother was very strict Catholic. And
to her priest, she would... and her brother, no less. That was hot. That was kind of cool.
She missed a lot of Sunday school.
She had broke
all the commandments.
What happens when you get raised by Mary Williams?
What church did they go to? Mind me not to send any of my kids there.
That's what happens when Mary Williams raised you.
I was hoping that they would make good on the promise to bring Mama Mary to the wedding, because I would have loved to see her look at Nikki and go, "You're going to marry my son?"
Davidson said somewhere, I can't remember where I read it, but Doug Davidson said somewhere that he pretty much asked her to come back, and she's like, nah, she's good in retirement. She's not coming back.
That would have been awesome. I need her back for one scene.
She don't want to even come back for one.
That woman was such a hypocrite. I would love for her to find out that one of her precious children has done all of this stuff. Because that Mary, I loved Mary. She looked down her nose on everybody.
Yeah, she was an equal opportunity hater. She just hated everybody.
She didn't like Lauren Lauren was a slut. But she didn't like Cricket either. It's like, you couldn't win. You were not good enough for her, Paul.
Oh, and how about, that's what I meant. If she found out he was going to marry Nikki, oh my God.
Oh, I know. She didn't like an heiress and a goody-goody model-turned lawyer. Think about what she'd have thought about that much married stripper.
She would have been like, oh, you're not my son, Paul. Oh, I'm glad. Oh, Mary.
Yeah,
was
you know
bitch.
She gave Nikki gay Paul BD.
Whatever.
Gave him them crotch crickets.
Yep.
Scratch, he liked them, though, because he went back. I said, well, I guess he didn't get burned good enough the first time.
Well, I can't wait for Paul to find out that Victor is in on this because JT is too close to finding out. I can't wait for Paul to find out. I hope, now this is my hope, I hope Weinart isn't right that Paul tries to fight Victor and they're holding him back and then Victor gets the last word. I hope Paul beats the shit out of Victor, and I'm a Victor fan. It can't be, it's not real.
You know they ain't gonna script Victor Luke fight. Eric Braden, that's what he'll walk over. Forget a pay cut. I am not going to play this in.
Yeah,
Victor cannot lose.
There's only so much of that I can take. I mean, he has to get his ass kicked for the shit that he's pulled. Just bringing this hoe to town has snowballed into this entire effect.
I say, Sharon is a hot mess, and you need to fix her. I like Sharon, but this stealing has got to stop, and she needs to stop.
Trash it behind.
Oh, my God. How pathetic was she to go in there and pull out the same ring that Phyllis had on?
Yeah, I noticed that with Wine on now. Like, I praise them, but I have to speak of it. They have all the women in there acting like some slonkies, and I'm not trying to feel that. It's only one slonky there, and that's that damn
You know what? The last plot point where they really threw Sharon under the bus was her lying about that baby.
Yeah.
You know, ain't no woman in the world, alive or dead, gonna do that. You got your man back, and you got his kid in your belly. You're gonna be like, we gonna be here to support this little baby of yours you got with this other woman. I'm gonna tell you how women really are. No woman is that selfless. A woman would have been like, yeah, we're going to be here and support your bastard child with the woman you cheated on me with. But I'm going to be right here with you. Phyllis, you need some coffee? That's how a woman would have acted. Not, I'm going to be selfless and let you have her. You need to be with her. What was it? He could have still been there with her and that baby if
on
you told
of,
him. You didn't have to lie about that. It was just out of character and stupid.
On behalf of the Lone Ranger woman on this podcast, sorry, that was so not cool. I was waiting for Sharon to be like, I'm carrying your baby, Nick, and her name is going to be Faith. Yeah, it's a girl. And then tell Phyllis, look, Nick, I'll have Nick here to support that peanut butter cookie eating fool and keep it moving. It was stupid. Yeah, I said that. It was stupid, and I didn't like it. I did not like it. I don't like how some of the women are being written on this show. I don't like it.
I don't like how they had to make that baby like regress 5 years because of this. I'm like, you didn't have to hurt Dino.
To me, that's
again,
all to
like,
bring Nick and shit.
You
Nick
think your audience
up.
Can't deal with two gay men kissing, but your audience is mostly mothers at home. So you're going to give them their worst nightmare that someone hurt their child and make their child have brain damage. This just shows how clueless these people are. I'm sorry. You underestimate your audience. No, my grandmother used to turn off the TV whenever they would hurt a child on TV. That's when she would, and she would watch soaps through anything. But if you hurt a child, she would turn it off. They're mothers. They're women. That goes against everything, you know. They might, you know, my grandmother, I'm going to be honest here. She probably would have said if she saw Adam and Ray kiss, but she wouldn't have turned it off. But, you know, people are more accepting than you think. But what they aren't accepting about is a bunch of incest and, you know, child abuse. But
incest,
my final thought for the episode is I'm going to call Peter because Peter told me to tell y'all that they can deal with everything else, but y'all using that dead cat to make a wig for Eva Marcel. That wasn't right. And I want her to do a campaign with Peter. She was talking about Nia Long's campaign, talking crazy on Twitter. No, she don't need to even mention Nia Long. Nia Long shouldn't even be mentioned in the same breath as Eva Marcel. And there she is on Twitter hating on her, talking about her Peter. I don't care how Nia Long is still a good-looking woman for her age. Who cares? You can't act. Stop tweeting and go to acting lessons. Stop tweeting.
Jillian, final thought?
My final thought is do something with Tatiana Ali. do something with that girl. She's a talented actress, and you keep showcasing that funky Eva Marcel. If you're not going to have Tatiana's character with Devon anymore, let her mix and mingle it up with Daniel. Daniel's single now. It'd be kind of cool to see Roxy break out of that little protective shell that they have her in and integrate the Winters families and the minorities more and stop having them off in their own little world. I know that's what Bill Bellis did before. I know that's what Maria's trying to follow, but it's not good. You don't even show them anymore. Integrate them more and try to find a niche.
I got one thing to say. I don't know her name on the site, and I don't like to tell people's real names because she knows who she is. She's one of the big people that runs the Lane site, and she emails me from time to time. Shout out to the Lane fans. From what I hear, the Lane fans are cool with me right now. You know, I'm doing good with them. All right, I hadn't said anything negative about Lane recently, but she emailed me and she said, is it just me, or did they show the black people on White Hour on the 1st and the 15th?
I know, Payday, what the fuck is that? That makes me mad.
No, government check me!
You know, what the fuck is that?
I said, now, since something that came from a reader, I had to say that, because if I'd have said that, I'd have got 7 emails. Jimmy, that is so wrong for you to say! It's like, why can the Greeks make fun of their culture in the big fat Greek wedding, but Victoria Rowell is stereotypical, and as a black educated woman, I didn't identify with Drusilla. I did.
Well, I see now why Christoph.
Everybody don't want to be Evangeline. Hell. Embrace your ghetto. Embrace the hood. Don't hate.
Some of us don't have hood.
That's okay. Anyway, but I see why Christoph St. John got mad, because look at the shit they have him in. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And Miss Bell, I am not doing the electric side with you at the family picnic. You and Uncle Paul, I ain't doing the electric side with me at no family picnic. So back up off me. Back up.
Mike, final thought.
Final thought was my comment about Sharon.
Oh, okay. Well, on that note, we would encourage you to email us.
I'm just glad the black, they don't have Tyra Stillen. Thank you for that.
Oh, my God.
At least the sister ain't Stillen.
Email
the rich white woman Stillen everywhere.
Email us at podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye. Put it down, Sharon. Put it down.
I'm making a discount for Sharon Newman.
Shoot. If you want a Prada bag, go to Sharon. She'll hook you up at the back of her Mercedes.
You know that's what she's doing.
That's what she's doing. She's going right to bed for, and she's like, you know, you
Sharon. Yeah, Sharon ain't crazy. Sharon driving she going home to Madison to her mama's house on the weekend. Girl, I got a new Prada clutch, girl. Stole it out of Fenmore's.
She telling people on the low. She Twittering people, want to hook up at Fenmore's, pick it out, and I'll get that for you. I got you. Need a picture. It's ridiculous.
You know, that would be hard for Fenmore's. They can't take nobody stealing. If the CEO has to go help Amber pick out her panties, they got Lauren down there. Ooh, Catherine. Murphy, I like you in these panties.
Just nasty.
Girl, I got a new set came in, Kay. Murphy gonna tear you up.
God. After he pulls his teeth out, whatever.
Hey, old people told me to tell y'all they still want to get busy too.
Eric Braden does. You see how he be trying to lift bitches up and taking them to that bedroom.
Kay and Murphy is like the Denter Chronicles. I mean, seriously.
Get a backup off my Catherine, boy.
Hey, they got pills now that can make him still do what he needs to do and her still get excited, hey.
Get a backup off my Catherine. I don't need to cut you to the quick loop. Don't do that.